How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, February 13th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad to have you here. And also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with me. Now, today I want to talk a little bit about something that is mostly happening where Charlotte's at. This is sort of
greetings from this side of the Atlantic.
this is going to be a much bigger deal on your side than on our side, because we're talking about Huawei. And yes. The U.S. has already said thanks but no thanks to them helping build 5G networks. But at the same time, the UK has said, well, you know, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
Ish. So just for a quick bit of context, there's lots of opposition to Huawei's involvement in our 5G network in the UK, including from senior politicians who are in the Conservative Party, who are obviously in government at the moment. But the government has decided that it will have a cap of 35% of the market in our 5G infrastructure. And it's also said that Huawei is not allowed to be involved in the 5G networks at key secure points, military bases, that kind of thing. Now, I wrote for The Times here in London, The Times Red Box, that's basically total nonsense. And this idea that you can separate and sort of firewall, if you can excuse the expression, a company into one little part of the network and not the other seems nonsense to me. But
why does anyone want them building their network?
That is a great question. And the answer, I think, is basically because they can.
The issue here being that they have long been suspected by multiple administrations here in the U.S., at the very least. I know a lot less about what the U.K. thinks.
I mean, I think around the world.
That they have... that the Chinese military has their claws into the company and is using them to basically get backdoor access, and sometimes even just direct sitting there sniffing out everything access to as many networks as they can for surveillance. And I mean, like I said, this isn't even a political issue. This has long been suspected by multiple administrations here in the U.S. and in the UK too, it sounds like. So why doesn't anyone want them doing anything?
I think a number of different countries as well. I don't think for example, the Australians or New Zealanders are that keen on Huawei either. And Andrew wrote an interesting story yesterday for us on the Mac Observer, saying that a whole host of backdoors exploited by Huawei had already been discovered. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think these are kind of fear-mongering is my point. You know, read Andrew's story. It highlights some of the issues that are around at the moment. And so, look, it's going to... We all know that we all need 5G infrastructure. That's where things are going. More and more devices are capable of doing it. More, you know, as consumers, we expect everything to be as fast as possible, so on and so forth. But... you know, we have to take in the security and privacy concerns as well. And there is absolutely no doubt that Huawei brings with it a whole host of security and privacy concerns.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and not have them build out or do anything with their infrastructure. That just seems like a really smart thing.
That seems easier than only giving them the unsecure parts. Because doesn't that, like, I don't know about you, Brian, but to me, that sort of strikes me as the smoking and the non-smoking section that there used to be in restaurants.
Right. All sections of a restaurant are smoking if there is a smoking
section. If any of it's a smoking section. Right. Ooh. And, you know, or like airplanes, when that used to be a thing. And, like, that's sort of what this strikes me as. If you give Huawei access to any of the network, all of the network is Huawei's network. I mean...
It's certainly accessible.
At least potentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I I find it hard to understand, but like I said, I wasn't being kind of flippant when I answered Brian. I think the answer really comes down to the fact that countries know that Huawei can do this. It has the capability and the expertise to do this. Mm-hmm. However, whether you want it to do it, Brian's made a whole load of points quite rightly about why you really might not.
Like, I understand wanting it and knowing it's coming and all of that, but at the same time, I feel like I'd rather wait and get it right by somebody else who has the expertise. Like, you know, that would just be my stance on it. But I'm not in charge of determining 5G infrastructure for anybody. So, at this point, it's not even an issue at my house. So, I'm literally not having this conversation with anyone else. So, I wish there were some sort of action, Charlotte, on your side that could be taken that would maybe help this.
I think it genuinely, and I wrote about this for the Times in London today, I think this really does come down to a lack of understanding.
Yeah, that's
on really the part of UK politicians, what you're saying?
Correct. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, just because you don't let them on a base doesn't mean that they don't have access to the network that runs through it. And then, yeah.
That's exactly the basic point. And there's obviously a whole host of issues with kind of the Five Eyes Security Alliance, and one of the reasons the US has been so concerned about Britain having Huawei in its infrastructure is because it also could potentially put allies like the US and the other countries within that Five Eye network at risk. And so this is not just a kind of UK problem. This is a global issue that we need to sort out globally as, cooperating amongst nations.
Sure. All right. As we find out more about this, we will definitely do the reporting and let you know more about it here, because it will impact everybody at some point, depending on what that network is and what shape it takes. In the meantime, we're going to talk about something Brian can help us with, which is because Brian is currently in the process of writing the book about the iPad, and Charlotte has a brand new one. We wanted to talk a little bit about iPad multitasking, because Charlotte's heard a lot about it. Right, Charlotte?
So, yeah, the thing is, I tried to... So I love my iPad. I have found it... Like, because obviously I've used a load of Apple products in the past and used Apple products day in, day out the whole time, getting a new iPad and moving to iPadOS was really very, very intuitive. It's designed to be, it's a lovely, lovely device. They even make transferring stuff from via your phone. It's just so easy. The one thing I haven't been able to really get to grips with, which I would find super helpful, is multitasking. Even things as basic as splitting the screen so I can have a story or some press release or a reference document that I'm writing about on one side of the iPad screen, and the Drafts app or Safari, Chrome that I'm writing in another app. Things like that, I know we all know we can do, and you can play around, you get some of it, but Apple has really improved the multitasking capabilities of the iPad, but I don't think they're always so easy to find.
So there's two different modes here. There's slide over and there is split view. So let's look at slide over first. So first of all, put the two apps that you want to have side by side into your dock.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So open one of them.
Chrome is open.
Okay. Now pull your dock up, right? Slide up slowly from the bottom of your screen.
Yes, the dock is there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you have apps in your dock and you want to open one of those at the same time, which I will do here. So if you tap and drag that second app up, and so that it should form a...
There's a little rectangle now where I've dragged Apple News Plus.
Yeah, now let it go.
And there is Apple News as a little side column, and Chrome is still in full page.
Hold on, though. Is it a side column or is it a floating column?
It's
so there should be a little if it's a floating column, there should be a little
very floaty.
Okay, great. So you're in slide over mode.
Yes.
Okay. So that which really should be float over mode.
Agreed. Because
that app is floating. You can pretty much drag that app to one side or the other.
Kelly just discovered the same thing I discovered, that you can drop it to the side.
I didn't know this was a different thing, and I'm dragging it around, and it's blowing my mind. Okay, we're literally playing along at home.
Found.
Yes. All right. That's cool.
So, what I have just discovered, first of all, Brian is right. It should be called float over mode. And then if you move said float over mode and drop the app that's floating further along, like to the side of your iPad, it opens up a space next to the other open app, and you can have it basically turns it into split screen view, and you can move the size of relative size of those two apps next to each other.
Yeah, that's split view. So at that point, you can actually still grab the little gray bar at the top of either of your open apps.
Yes.
To flip sides, if you so choose. You can grab the middle, the gray bar that separates the two apps.
Yes.
To adjust how much of the screen they each get.
Indeed.
Or you can grab the gray bar at the top of the app to drag it off. Let's see if I.
Yeah, how do you turn that into split view?
Brian, this is so clever. You should write a book on this subject.
I should do that.
So I think also, as well as Brian's explanation, we'll do a little video of this as well. But the point in older iPads, this kind of capability was never around, right? And it makes a huge, huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's part of iOS, and I think it was available at first just to iPad Pros, but has been opened up to the iPad and the iPad Air.
It was definitely in Pros before it was in the rest of the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how do you turn it into slide over from the floating view? That's what I mean.
What do you want to do?
I have the little floating thing now.
Yeah.
And I want to turn it into split view, split screen.
So drag it to one side mm-hmm. or the other.
Okay.
And then wait until they both sort of turn into rectangles.
Oh.
Both apps.
Okay. Mine is not.
You're doing it wrong.
I know. That's what I figured. Let's try again.
So what other exciting tricks and tips do we need to learn, Brian?
Well, so you can also do that, though. You don't have to go into slide over mode first. You can go straight from the dock into split view.
Okay.
Okay, that's useful.
Yeah.
You know if you want, say, a PDF document in one side and a web browser in the other, you can do that straight away.
Yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
And does it always have to be via the dock, Brian?
Yes.
Interesting. I wonder why that is.
Well, because how else are you going to do it? How else are you going to get to your home screen if you've got another app open?
I can see that.
Yeah, some of your technicality there. But
I like that. But no, surely you could. No, I'm thinking something more advanced than. So, like, you could. I wonder why you can't, instead of moving an app, like if you move it to the side, I suppose what happens is if you press an app and then try and drag it across the screen, it simply just edits the home screen, doesn't it? It rearranges the apps on your home screen.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see why it has to be via the dock. But of course, half your dock on an iPad is apps you've recently used or apps you have open.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can drag... You can have up to 15 apps in your dock.
Whoa, really?
Right.
Yes.
Because I have set in my dock 4 key apps that I use all the time, and then other stuff that appears in it as I'm using it in the kind of second half of it.
Yeah, so there are 3 apps, the 3 spaces for recent and suggested apps.
Exactly.
So you can have up to 15 apps in your dock, but if you have the suggested and recent apps option on, you're going to stop at 13, and that's going to leave two slots for the recent and suggested apps.
Makes sense.
So okay. Up to 12, you won't change anything, right? So you can have 14, and it'll be 12 and 3. So yeah, if you have 12 of your own apps, you'll have three suggested and recent apps. But as soon as you go to the 13th one, you'll limit the number of slots for recent and suggested to two.
Sure.
Okay. But if you go to settings, general, I'm trying to remember this now. Is it doc? Where is it? I know it's here somewhere. It's in general. Just looked at this.
I have a separate section called home screen and doc.
Yeah, home screen and dock. Where is that? Why am I not seeing
just
that?
Under general, like below general control center display and brightness, home screen and dock. It's a top level setting on my iPad.
It is. Of course it is. Yeah, I'm going to blame lack of sleep. If you turn that off, now you can have 15, up to 15 apps of your own.
Right.
But quite frankly, I like having the suggested and recent apps.
Yeah, and I think it makes multitasking easier, because if you open an app that you don't normally have open or you don't want to keep in your dock, you don't have to add it to the dock just to do it for multitasking. It's there.
Right. And I would think you would generally come up with multitasking at a point where, like, I'm using this and I hate having to switch back and forth.
Exactly.
This thing I'm in right now. Yeah. So, checks out.
All right, so to get out of split view, it's called split view. So it's a slide over mode and split view. To get out of split view, drag the open app. I'm sorry, drag the middle. I'm trying to actually get back to it. The middle.
That little bar.
The middle bar in the middle, all the way to the left or the right, and it'll close. So it's if you drag that bar all the way over to the left, the app that's on the right will become the only open app. And if you drag it all the way to the left, the app on the left will become the only open app.
All right.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other cool multitasking tips you want to share with us?
There's the various gestures. There's the if you're in, let me actually close that out. You can do a 4-finger drag or a 5-finger drag to cycle through your most recent apps. It's not really multitasking per se. The only real multitasking features are slide over and split view.
Yeah, but if you do the drag gestures,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you do the gestures, like you're saying, all the apps you have open come up.
If you're in an app and you do this multi-finger drag, you can cycle through the apps.
Yeah. Very cool.
Five-finger drag works the best. For me personally.
Very cool.
I think you could do it with 4 fingers too, but I generally speaking do it with 5 fingers.
Very cool.
All right.
Word.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
So that's just some little tasking tips of a Thursday.
Yeah, that works. Slide over and split view work in portrait or landscape mode. I personally think that the screen real estate probably makes the most sense with landscape mode.
Yeah, I tried it in both, and it's fine in portrait mode if you're just looking quickly, you know, if you had Twitter and then a web browser or something open. But for, you know, if you were writing something and you had notes, for example, it definitely would work better in landscape.
Yeah. All right. So try that out if this is the first that you're hearing of this. Hopefully listening to us play along at home helped you play along at home. and let us know. And if you have any cool multitasking tips for Charlotte's new iPad, I'm sure she will be very excited to hear them. You can do so by emailing us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave those comments in the show notes as well. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, thanks for bringing your iPad by.
Thank you so much. And yes, I will be sure to do a video or two for the Mac Observer's YouTube channel so you can also see what we were talking about. So check that out over the next few days.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you.
Also with us, thank you, Brian, for coming by with all of your iPad book learning.
Yipper. I done it. I done shared that learning with you.
Also, for those worrying at home, listening, writing the book only sent Brian a little crazy, so it's all good.
Yep.
Just a bit. It'll be fine. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.